My friend Tracy Wilcox had a will and instructions for life after her death. She had passed away from brain cancer. But before she died, she had passed me a letter at another funeral. And her husband Stuart, who was also a great friend of mine, was not quite aware of the contents of the letter until the day of Tracy's funeral. And at the funeral, we read the letter together. I know Stuart was someone whose confidence grew with time. We had a very fulfilling sexual relationship until I fell ill, and Stuart came to rely on sex for comfort, and this is something I worry about once I'm gone. In recent months, he's been quite introverted and no longer in contact with a lot of those we used to play with, but we trust you implicitly. Can you promise me that when I am gone, at least spend the night with him? Perhaps you can indulge his fantasies for just a bit. But he's going to need you to be there in the morning because he's spent a lifetime teaching sexual healing to others when he needs it himself. I don't quite think he can see past me, but he's only young. And he's not as strong in the mind of those as those siblings of his, Stefan and Samara. But he needs a guiding light so he can continue on that path of enlightenment he's laid out for us. And that light is you. Well, after a period of a few months, the time had come, and I was going to fly up to Queensland. I saw the contents of my suitcase and giggled just a bit, because Stuart and I had spoken about this weekend. It was Friday and I was going to be there for 3 nights, and Stuart was in very good spirits, but I was prepared for the emotional fallout. We had planned to do things like watch movies, go out for dinner and play with one another. Indeed, I arrived at the airport in Cairns on time. And I'll never forget the radiant smile I saw in Stuart when he greeted me and we looked at one another. I cannot believe you're here on my turf. I saw people looking. Soon I'll be all that, oh, there goes that woman from that sex show. Oh, well, come on, it runs deeper than that. Well, Stuart, just a little infamy and it's probably deserved. However, I am here on a mission and I cannot quite fly you to the moon and back, but we can get close. Oh, it's a mission I want to accept and I am prepared. I know I may cry and get upset, but I do want heaven of some sort, because like I said, I cannot believe you're here in Coranda just for me. I giggled as we got into his car and drove home, and before I knew it, I had arrived. A wooden house in the forest with 4 bedrooms and scenic views, and the house was feeling empty. Tracy and Stuart had first bought it in the early 1970s. One room with bedroom was an office of sorts, and they'd leased it out for the last 6 years before returning with just their daughter Kirby in tow. And by the end of the decade, Kirby had moved back to Sydney. It was Stuart alone in a huge house, where 2 of the bedrooms had become rooms for wellness purposes, and I could hear the birds. It was peaceful, and far more peaceful than anywhere else had been in recent times. Well, I think we could do with watching some Star Trek movies. I mean, we were supposed to do that a while ago, remember? But remember, Dewsbury, he ended up in hospital with that virus. But do tell me if that doesn't quite float your boat, although I know it does. I do have memories of LSD back in the day. We did just that. I remember a somewhat trippy conversation with Stuart about the first film many years ago. I was forever defending Star Trek the motion picture, because people accuse it of being slow and boring. And granted, it's not the most action-packed movie, but it's the sort of film to provoke thoughts. And meanwhile, there was dinner. The spices filled the air. Muted lights along with the sunflowers on the dinner table, and I still had a hard time believing I was there. In the back of my mind was the fact that after today, things wouldn't quite be the same. We would get along fine as always, but we could both walk around with smiles on our faces and yet more blushing. You know, Stefan, he used to give me so much shit because every time I saw you, I blushed like crazy and I was never sure why. I told him it's not often you find someone as gorgeous as he is, let alone a brother who's not a twin but equally as sexy to look at. But I do love that contrast in personality. I did notice you blushing and I didn't want to question it, even though people could tell Stefan and I apart. A lot of people did think we were twins. We're close enough in age to be twins, you know. There's only a 13-month age gap. But he was always more go-getting than me. I mean, I hated the fact they went through police college and they ended up being stationed in Pukekohe. Ended up quitting. And I was so disappointed, but after all that drama I went through to get in and all that training, I just found I wasn't happy, you know. And I felt bad about it, but Stephen was the one who tapped me on the shoulder and told me it would be okay. And he knew I had other dreams to fulfill. And that's when I found out your friend Minnie was interested in forming that band. Anyhow, she saw me at that engagement party and she told me about her trip to the UK in 1966. And she signed me on there and then, and I ended up in this wonderful career with the guitar, the keys, the violin, and the occasional vocals in a band called Made of Glass. I had this successful business in massage, yoga, and couples therapies, and I've been happily married with a bit of spice on the side. And two children, they're very much at home in your band. Pink Max. I have been happy. It's only in the last few years things have not been going so well. That was only because my wife was terminally ill. He got upset at that point and we both got up to hug one another. I'd barely seen Stuart in the last few years because of Tracy's illness. She didn't want anyone to see her in that state. Now it will be okay, but of course, I'm still going to grieve because she was taken from me long before her time. I spent my life feeling far more spiritually enlightened than anyone else, but all of that failed me last year. It was hard enough with Dad gone and the kids having moved out, you know. But time be the healer, and Tracy was right. A lot of the people we used to associate with disappeared the moment she became unwell, so yes. Well, thank fuck I kept my contacts from the music industry. Yes. And one of them happens to be here now. Now, did you want my help with the washing up? No. I can do it. Might be good just to let a bit of emotion out. All good. Well, I'm going to go and pack some of my stuff. I won't be too long. I unzipped my suitcase in the bedroom and all signs of Tracy were gone, bar a photo from their wedding in 1969. Tracy was the pregnant bride and I perused the shot for the familiar faces. There was Stuart's sister Samara and her husband Darren, and there was his brother Stephen looking impossibly gorgeous. There was my best friend Minnie, along with her husband Tommy and the other members of her band. I was not one to question how one mourns another, and I was intimidated by the contents of my own case, and I admit that Stephen had helped me. I was too embarrassed to go near a sex shop, so he did the honour of getting me the red rubber top that let my boobs free, the red rubber opera gloves, and the red rubber crotchless panties. He knew what their purpose was, and it was time to transform myself into the mistress. It was something that took time because rubber was hard to get on, and I did the brush of the hair before I put on a wig, because I figured my rainbow pastel hair was not quite going to work. So here we were with this luscious black wig, the most red lipstick I could find, and there were the thigh-high boots and, well, there was the strap on, a new one. I heard him call out to me, "Okay, here goes everything." He was facing the sink when I came up from behind and wrapped my arms around him. He was frozen on the spot, still sporting his washing up gloves. "Oh, miss. You may not take me to the moon, but does Andromeda take your fancy?" "Pet, do you remember 6 years ago? I was overseas and you called me. And you knew exactly where I would be. I was at the hotel. But you never quite explained to me why you called me in the first place. I mean, I was taken aback. But I remember it as if it was yesterday. You wanted a mistress that wore the red rubber. Can you feel me?" "I can feel something." "I hope you could, my gorgeous pet, because it's long, thick, and I'm sure your backside is a worthy recipient." "I'm sorry, I still have my washing up gloves on, miss. What would you like me to do?" "Just stand there." Slipped his pants down and immediately I noticed the hard-on. I hadn't seen Stuart's appendage before and I was impressed. The underwear came down and he sprung out as his breathing became heavier. I took a firm grasp of his cock while my other hand traced up his skin, and he had such a lovely body for a 47-year-old. I slipped a finger into his mouth and he immediately began to suck on it. Ooh, he's been well trained. I'm quite impressed, my pet. That's a delicious cock you have there, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it will react. Now, as you know, I'm not a cruel mistress. I'm not into denial. I'm also not into pain. I just like having some control, and I enjoy watching reactions. Now come along. Take those pants off and go into the bedroom, please. Oh, and turn around and take in what you see. I do not wear this get-up for just anybody. He found himself nude from the waist down and the washing gloves came off. I will never forget the look of stars in his eyes. Can I feel what you're wearing, miss? I want to make sure this is real. Yes, pet, you may. To be honest, I would have been okay with everything. I do recall writing in my diary how I loved being the plaything in a fantasy, and it was being played out here for him. And I was definitely inspired by that occasion of phone sex we'd had in the past. A slightly shaky hand stroked the shine of the rubber, and I could see a slight moment of hesitation when he came across the strap-on. And yes, pet, if you want to feel my cock, do so. Even better, perhaps you should suck my cock too. His hand stroked the rubber manhood, and like any good sub should, he took me in his mouth. I was so hellishly turned on by his compliance. Now, if only my cock was real. I could tell you really enjoy sucking cock, and I only wish I could ejaculate in your mouth as reward. But come with me to your room. I had to really get rid of any qualms about being in a widower's bedroom, and like I said, the evidence of Tracy was scant. In conversations with Stuart after her passing, he had gotten rid of a lot of her personal effects. As part of his healing and spiritual separation, and everyone has different coping mechanisms for acute grief. And here he was sucking on my tits. If you had asked me back in the day when I first met him, did I ever think I would be doing this with him, I would have choked with laughter. I'm so proud of you, delicious pet. Barely a word said and you seem to know what you want to do. But I'm not a cruel mistress who wishes to stop you from seeing what I do, though. Though I can understand the appeal of sensory deprivation. But if I can silence you, I will, because I know once I'm in you, being quiet will be impossible, but do you wish to speak? I do, miss. You're so kind to me, and I've had a lot of dreams late at night about how tonight would be. I hope you won't mind if I let emotions run wild afterwards. I don't want you to think that I'm weak or needy. Pet, if you cry afterwards, I get it. I know you won't be crying from regret. You'll cry because you're vulnerable and you require my care, just as your last mistress has instructed. And we're fulfilling her wishes. It does not make you weak or needy. You need love. I have it. Now I want you to lay on your back and raise your arms above the headboard. Your late mistress instructed me with your safe words and sounds, so do not hesitate to use them if you feel you have to. I'll stop immediately. He did as I asked, and it was such a delectable body. I tied his hands to the headboard and I slipped a gag in his mouth. Then it was a cock ring to make sure his erection was damn obvious. His look had me chomping at the bit. I kept the lubricant close as I slipped a condom onto the strap-on. Hope you're ready for me, pet. You need to receive my big cock because I'm going to fuck you hard. He spread his cheeks and squirted a little more lube around his ass. And as I slid the strap-on in, I saw his muscles clench as if his cock couldn't be any harder. He jerked violently and I worried he was going to come just like that, but no. This was a man I knew had stamina, and I fucked him, and the muffled sounds of his pleasure were some of the hottest sounds I'd heard from a man. We kept looking at one another, and it only pushed me to fuck him harder, and his cock kept twitching. I lubed up my gloved hands and started jerking him off, and the shaking was insane as he broke out into a sweat. My delicious pet, You enjoy receiving my cock no matter where I insert it. You feel so good in my cock. Your cock feels so good in my hands. And if you want to come, you can. I know you want to. Come for me, pet. As I firmly stroked his dick, I saw his balls retract outwards, and there it was. The violent spasm and loud orgasm as he ejaculated all over his chest. I took the gloves off, removed the ring before I pulled out. I let the strap on off, and then I set him free. It was common for a submissive to become quite emotional after play. The sub drop was something I was familiar with, and I knew it would come for him. He burst into tears, so I picked him up off the bed into my arms, and he shared the embrace. Miss. Stuart, you can call me Kitty now, but yes. Thank you. I feel like I just flew to heaven. I do not really want to come back down, but I knew tonight would be hard. A lot of the mundane things we did beforehand were things I haven't done since Tracy died. It's most soothing and relaxing, and what we just did took my breath away. I did it. I finally did it. Because fucking hell, I've dreamed about you doing that to me for years. I mean, look at what we used to do, you know, back in the 80s and the whole, you remember that Colin Rumour has it, that was in the paper. All the shit they used to print off about us, and we used to just laugh it off. And you know what, tonight it came true. Tracy had prepared me for what might happen. All you Wilcox kids are highly emotional creatures, even though they don't like to admit it. I mean, emotions run stronger than others, and you're the same as me. Hence why we're such kindred spirits with one another. There's no doubt your love for Tracy was as strong as any other relationship. And I know you faced the confrontation head on when others tried to tell you otherwise because your relationship was not conventional. I'm also very proud of you. You were having a lot of fun and enjoying it. I was too. She also prepared me. I guess the only good thing to come out of it was the fact that we had a time window to adjust and make plans, and it didn't mean that I fell out of love with her over time, nor was I ready to move on straight away after she'd gone. But it meant I had time to think about how life would be afterwards. I threw myself into the business we built. The children are around a lot. A few friends in town encouraged me to go out for dinner and drinks, and you know, I knew today would be a mix of emotions, both good and bad. Well, actually, none of it's been bad. I'm pleased. I really am. We're always here for you, Stuart. I dote on you a great deal, and you know Stephen. He spends a lot of time over the last few weeks talking to me about grief and how it affects people differently. We did talk about what plans I might have. But I did just want tonight to just lead where it wants to go. I mean, I'm into making dreams come true. But is there anything else you want me to do? Well, you're still in your gear, miss. Can I go down on you, please? Yes, Pip. I'd like that. Picking him, of course, made my pussy drip. And I straddled his face immediately. Saw my grill flood him, and he was suffocated by the sweet warmth of cunt. No words needed to be said, and he was lost in a world of his own, and the scent of acute sexuality smothering him. I arched my back as I shoved my pussy down, and his tongue made velveteen strokes over my clitoris. He then grabbed my ass and held me there as I started to convulse and shake. This electricity ran from my nipples to my clit, and I'll never forget the moment I lifted my body to see his face drenched in my lubrication, his heavy breathing and a relaxed smile. But there was no turning back now, and I slept like a baby, and it was wonderful. And as we lay in bed, we were recalling memories of the past. There was a defining moment back in 1982 where I sought counsel in the studio. We had a song called Up, and it was a song that was very much about sex, to the point where sexual phrases were mixed into the background along with recorded orgasms. I kid you not. You know what, Kitty, we used to feel like CMI for that. Of course, nobody knew that but us, but do you remember your manager, Jamie? He was going to do the vocals originally. Yes, I do remember, because he said to me, and do what you should have done in the first place, have Stuart echo the words of the male climax. The song is written on a fantasy of his. He's right. So if we did re-record the song with you instead, and it would have worked so much better. Rumour has it already made up various stories about me bonking both Wilcox brothers. Yes. And you know that tour we went on in 1984 was full of sexual innuendo, and it set up a good template for Stephen's tour the following year. And we did well. Now, do you know why I rang you when you were in Rio for your book tour back in 86? I did always wonder. I was not expecting it. I was already starting to feel the loss of this solo project of ours to somebody else, and I didn't really want to head back to Queensland because of this accidental pop music career. I felt out of sorts, so I sought comfort in you, and before I knew it, your hand was in your panties, my cock was on my hand, and we shared a mutual orgasm across the wires. We did. Look what we're doing now. Do you fancy making love to me before breakfast? Of course I do. I intend on making pancakes with mango and banana. We'll have some contemplative chat and some massage with some bespoke oils. It's always a joy to have someone new to have morning sex with.